Mother's Day is a special day. You know, the Bible tells us to honor those to whom honor is due. To give honor to whom honor is due. And certainly, mothers are one group of people that is due our honor. And I hope that all of you are enjoying, are planning to enjoy with the rest of the day as well, a good Mother's Day. As we think about mothers, in the New Testament, godly women are referred to as daughters of Sarah. So just as Abraham is the father of the faithful, Sarah is the mother of the godly women. And so she's looked to, and I know she wasn't perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect either. None of us are perfect. So it's good to have an example of someone who maybe wasn't quite perfect, but was a good example for us nonetheless. In Genesis chapter 21 and verses 1 through 8, and I know we've studied the book of Genesis on our Sunday night lessons, so we are familiar somewhat with this, and of course many people are familiar with it anyway, because this is the story of Abraham and Sarah conceiving Isaac. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Well, we know Abraham was 100, and we know that Sarah was 10 years younger than him, so she was 90. And I know most of you 90-year-old ladies out there, I don't think we have any quite there yet, but if you were 90, you wouldn't want to be giving birth to a baby, would you? It's bad enough being a great-grandma at that age, and you sure wouldn't want to be a mama and have to change those diapers all the time and get woke up in the middle of the night and all those things. I'm reminded somewhat of the story of the lady. They'd done some things with fertility to make it possible the 65-year-old woman gave birth. And all of her friends were just astonished that this 65-year-old woman had had a baby. And so one day they came over to see her. And she was getting a little up there. You know, some people at 65 are still in real good health, and some people at 65 aren't. Some people are still real sharp at 65, and some people aren't. And when our friends came to visit her, they got over there and they said, we want to meet your baby. We want to see the baby. And she said, not right now. Come in, have a cup of tea, and we'll see the baby in a little while. So after they had a cup of tea and a cookie or two, and they said, we really want to see the baby. And she said, the baby's napping right now. I don't want to wake the baby up, so if we can just wait just a few more minutes, let's just sit and talk in the living room for a little bit. So they sat and talked for a little bit, and after a little while, it had been an hour, and they were getting a little impatient, and they finally said, we're glad to see you and visit with you, but we came to see the baby. And she said, I guess I need to just tell you the truth. She said, I laid him down for his nap, and I forgot where I put him. And so when he cries, I'll know where he is to go get him. Well, you know, Sarah said, to give birth in old age, she said, all who hear will laugh with me. Well, some of them might have laughed at her, too, for giving birth at that age. But when we think about it, we think what a joyous thing motherhood is. Being able to be a mother, there are good times and bad, and a lot of factors involved. But as we think about what makes a good mother, one of the things that's necessary for a mother to have, she's got to have a sense of humor. She just has to. You know, laughter is a good thing. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:4 that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. We saw this morning in our Bible class, chapter 15 and verse 13 and 15 and verse 15 of Proverbs, both talk about how a merry heart is a good thing. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. He who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Chapter 17 and verse 22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. We talked about those just this morning in our Bible class. And so laughter, joy, happiness, they're good things to have. And it's important for a mother because there are some times when she has to laugh. We think about the stages of motherhood. Think about your clothes. Those of you who are mothers will remember. Those of you who are husbands will pretend you don't remember these things. Well, some of you may not have to pretend. But during the first baby came, you began wearing maternity clothes just as soon as the doctor said, yes, you are pregnant. And you wanted everybody to know you were going to have a baby. You're so excited about it. At the second baby, you wore your regular clothes as long as they would possibly fit. And by the third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. Well, what about the baby's name? Well, the first baby, you pore over those baby name books, practice pronouncing and writing combinations of all your favorites, try to figure out what the best possible name for this baby could be. The second baby, well, somebody's got to name their kid after your great-aunt Mavis, right? Might as well be you. By the time the third one comes along, you just open the name book, close your eyes, and point. Hope you get a good one. Preparing for the birth. With the first baby, you practice your breathing and exercises religiously. The second baby, you don't bother practicing because you remember it didn't help the last time. And by the third baby, you just ask for an epidural in the eighth month. I think Dawn's about ready for that. She said, I know why they just go to the hospital and say, take this baby out of me. We get to that point at some point along the way. Well, with the first baby, you press the baby's clothes, you color coordinate them, you fold them, you put them in the baby's little bureau, the little dresser that you have for the baby. With the second baby, you check to make sure the clothes are clean and only throw out the ones with the worst stains. By the time the third baby comes along, you say, boys can wear pink, can't they? Yeah. Our son's glad he was the first and not the third. What about your worries? The first baby, at the first sign of distress, the first little whimper, even a frown, you pick that baby up. And the second baby, you pick that baby up when her wails threaten to wake up your firstborn child from the nap. You don't want that to happen. And by the third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to rewind the mechanical swing and turn it back on. How about those activities? Oh, baby activities, they're a big thing. With the first baby, you take the baby to baby gymnastics and baby swing, baby story hour, and they got baby everything, don't they? And you say, oh, you got to get all, they got to do all those things. With the second baby, well, you still take them to the baby gymnastics, maybe. By the third one, you take them to the supermarket and the dry cleaner. Those are good activities for a baby, aren't they? Well, what about going out? First time you went out with your first baby and you left that baby with the sitter, you called home five times to make sure everything was okay. With the second baby, just before you walk out the door, you remember to leave a number for you can be reached. And by the third baby, you leave instructions for the sitter to only call if she sees blood. And then you turn off your cell phone so she can't get you anyway. And then she'll call 911, right? And what about at home? With the first baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at that baby. Remember that first one? Oh, baby, it's so cute. No looking, doing this and doing that, just looking at that baby. With the second baby, you spend a bit of every day watching to be sure the older child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. Make sure they're safe. And by the time the third one comes along, you spend a little bit of every day hiding from them. Well, the Bible says charm is deceptive and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned and praise her at the city gate. Now, as far as I know, most of our cities nowadays don't have gates. But we do praise our mothers at the city gate, so to speak, when we honor them with a day like Mother's Day. We give them the honor that is due to them, and we give them their reward. And I know it's not enough. One of the mothers today was talking about how she owed her son some money for the work they did. I said, no. They'll never pay back all of the things you did for them. We never will. We'll never pay our mothers back just for bringing us into this world. Now, some of us may not have had godly mothers, but we still had mothers. And Dawn posted on her Facebook account this morning, she was telling me what she put on there, and she talked about, you know, you had, all of us had a mother who brought us into this world. The genetic, physical mother. But then some had an adoptive mother who took that baby that had been brought into the world in and raised them. And some had a mother who both gave birth and raised them. And then some of us, you know, we've had spiritual mothers who helped us grow to be godly people. May not have been our biological mothers that did that, but they served that role. We may have mother-in-laws who are the source of our spouse. Those are good things. We should be grateful for all of those mothers. Now, of course, in Proverbs 31 here, he makes it clear that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, a woman that's just a treacherous, deceitful, ungodly, sinful woman, well, there's not a lot of praise in that. But we want to be godly people, and we want our mothers to be godly mothers, and we want to honor those who have been godly mothers. Give them their reward. Proverbs 31 and verse 25, speaking still of this mother, says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity." And we think about that. We think about, oh, a dignified mom. You know, those mothers, they were so dignified, and they were so strong. I mean, most of us men, if we had to put up with what mothers had to put up with, we would have quit a long time ago. But mothers are strong. They have strength and dignity. But then he goes on to say, she will laugh at the days to come. Really? She'll laugh? I mean, because sometimes, you know, we don't think of parenting with laughter. Tears, maybe. But laughter, we think, oh no, you've got to be strict, you've got to be straight, and you've got to keep those kids in line. You can't have fun. You can't laugh. Especially not if you're a good godly mother, if you're a good Christian mother. You can't laugh. You've got to be straight-laced, and you've got to have that almost frown on your face all the time. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. Yes, she's going to laugh. Remember Sarah's laugh? We read about it just a while ago. You know, when she was first told that she was going to have a baby in her old age, she laughed about it because she didn't believe it. And she denied it back in Genesis 18, 1 through 14. She denied it when they said, oh, you laughed. She said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. Said, yeah, you did. You laughed about it. You thought it was a joke. But it wasn't. But then later, when Isaac was born, you know, his name means laughter. When he finally arrived, Sarah was able to laugh and not be ashamed of it. In fact, that's what she said. God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. She said, who would have thought to say to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. We read that a little while ago. There's a joy, and there has to be a sense of humor about our lives. We have to laugh about things, and mothers need to laugh. You see, sometimes mothers laugh. After all, on some days, what other options are there? She laughs with joy at the birth of a child. And she laughs even more at the birth of a grandchild. Because she knows she won't have to take care of that one as much, right? So she can laugh more about that one. She knows her son or daughter is getting what's coming to them for all the trouble they gave her, right? So she can laugh even more at that. She laughs at the familiar smell of baby powder, the softness of baby's sweet cheeks, the warmth of a precious bald head. For some of you ladies, that's not your babies, that's your husbands that have that precious bald head, but those babies do too. She laughs in the tender moments of discovery and play as her baby learns about life and wonder and love. You know, a mother is a child's first teacher. She helps that child discover so much. We think about Timothy. And Paul talked about how his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, had raised him up and had taught him from a child he had known the Scriptures. And he had been taught all those things. He'd learned those things from a mother. She laughs at her child's thrill when learning new things and conquering new challenges. Even if it means lots of attention to an insecure little heart and a few skinned up knees. Because deep down she knows her child is not hers, but a precious loan from God for a while. Children are a heritage to the Lord. And we have a responsibility as parents. And it seems that a lot of times, a lot of that responsibility is laid on the mother. Take care of that child and to bring that child up. I know the Bible says fathers are supposed to bring the child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but an awful lot of the time it's the mother that's doing the lion's share of that work. Some fathers are a little delinquent in that area and need to step up and help more doing those things. You know, even when she's not sure what she should do or even what exactly is wrong, she'll laugh just so her child won't be afraid. She'll cover her child's fears with her own laughter sometimes. She laughs in the busyness of her daily life, even if the only moments she can steal to be alone are while running the errands. I know sometimes, you know, mothers say, even, you know, I can't even go take a shower. I can't even go to the bathroom and somebody's knocking on the door, bothering her. Mommy, just can't get a moment's peace. You ever wonder if maybe God feels that way with us? Sometimes He can't get a moment's peace from us. We're always needing something. But you know, it's good to be needed. But you need a moment every once in a while just to yourself. She laughs even when it's more of a wrestling match of wills because she knows the stakes are too high to give up on her child. Especially when that child can get the best of her nearly every time they spar. You know, those children can be strong-willed. They can be stubborn. But God made moms so that they can be more resilient. Oh, they can just outlast those children. And sometimes they have to. She laughs because sometimes that's all she knows how to do. Like when she's had to be tough and hard-headed enough to outlast that latest tantrum, rebellion, or ugly thing that has come her way from her precious bundle of joy, who has suddenly found lots of things wrong with her faith and her values and her rules. And, children can say some cruel things. I hate you, Mommy. I wish you weren't my mommy. Ever have kids say those kinds of things? Sometimes they do. They don't know any better. Maybe they know it'll hurt you. Trying to hurt you because you did something that they thought was so mean. Well, you have to laugh sometimes to keep from crying. It doesn't matter if the child is young or old. She'll laugh as she tells about the latest and greatest thing her child has just accomplished. Yes, mother's a safe laugh. They're daughters of Sarah. They've learned that when they laugh, God smiles. He keeps His promises and He gives them His grace. For after all, they do His most important work on earth. They show His children that He loves them. It's an incredible thing and it's an important thing. Well, dear Mom, thanks for laughing. In the sound of your voice, I've anticipated the joy of heaven and feel it at home. With all my love, your child. You know, perhaps some of us here today haven't appreciated our moms like we should. Maybe we haven't treated them the way we should. I know all of us have at times not done everything that we should in those areas. And I'm here to tell you, some of you, regardless of whether I do or don't know your mom, I know your mom wants you to go to heaven, even if she doesn't know it. You know, sometimes some moms don't even know, they don't know about God, they don't know about His Word, they don't know about Jesus, they don't know about the church, they don't know about obedience. But you know, they want you to go to heaven. They want you to be with God. Even those mothers out there who aren't godly mothers want that for their children. They don't want their children to be with the devil. But you know, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're not going to give your mom what she wants because you're not on your way to heaven. If you're not, you need to become a Christian today so that you can go to heaven like your mom wants you to. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 7, a deputy of a country named Sergius Paulus called for Barnabas and Saul because he desired to hear the Word of God. God wants you to hear His Word. Your mother will want you to hear His Word. But you've got to want to hear it in order for it to do you any good. Are you willing to listen to God's Word? But just listening, just hearing is not good enough. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. We've got to come to Jesus and believe in Jesus. We've got to have faith. You see, we hear a lot of things, but only the things that we hear and believe really make a difference in our lives. We've got to believe it. But that's not the end either. John 12 and verses 42 and 43 talks about the fact that Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Paul and those with him went testifying to the Jews and to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. So we've got to change. Those things that we've been doing that are wrong, we've got to stop doing those things. Those things that we haven't been doing that are right and good, we need to start doing. We've got to repent of our sins. And then we've got to confess. Acts 19 and verse 18 said, many came that believed came and confessed and then showed their deeds. You know, we've got to confess. We've got to put it into words. We've got to talk about our belief and faith in Jesus Christ. But then we've got to put it in deeds as well. Just talking the talk isn't good enough. We must be baptized. 1 Peter 3:18 through 22. Christ suffered once for our sins, just for the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also He went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we've got to think about that. We've got to wash those sins away. We could stop doing those sins and never do another one from now for the rest of our life. And it still wouldn't change the fact that we had those sins that we've already done. See, we've got to get rid of them. We've got to wash them away. And then we've got to live faithfully. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says of the church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. You see, they didn't quit. They kept going. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to become one by following those steps. Even if you are a Christian here this morning, perhaps you haven't been living as you should. Maybe you haven't been giving the honor to your mom that she deserved, or maybe it was to your wife, or maybe you just haven't been giving the honor to God that He deserved. Maybe as a mom, you haven't been the mom you should have been. Maybe as a dad, or a husband, or a wife, or a child, or whatever it may be, you may have fallen short. We all have. But maybe you're struggling with something and you need the prayers of the church today. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.